He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time as this. And so it does beg the question, are you resting in Him? Are you resting in Him? Because I do think we need a Sabbath. I think we need a day off to unwind and to unplug and to actually a day of rest. Anybody need a rest from Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and texting and all these different things? It's very good, very important. But think about this question then. Are you resting in Him? Are you resting in Him? Many who have to follow rules or go through the motions and keep certain days don't have that genuine relationship with God.
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship, located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles.
Today in Regaining Lost Ground, we hear part one of a restful message from Pastor Shane titled, From Desolation to Restoration. Psalm 51, 10 through 12 is a heart's cry from King David, which says, Create in me a clean heart, God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Are you feeling in need of recharge or even a new life? Jesus said, Come to Him, all who are heavy burdened, and He will give you rest. Today, Pastor Shane explains this hope in Jesus and that the only hope for today is King Jesus. You can hear the whole message at Pastor Shane's YouTube and Rumble channels. Make sure to subscribe today.
For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth from Pastor Shane with the Eidelman Unplugged weekly podcast. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Eidelman.
As I was reading this week, I realized that we're getting a lot more closer to how Rome was when Jesus lived. And where, when Paul wrote his Pauline epistles and in jail, what I mean by that is it was either Caesar is Lord or Jesus was Lord. But America, of course, became a melting pot, and I'm all for melting pots and people, you know, we welcome all kinds of people, of course. But we're getting to that point now where that line is being drawn in the sand a little more clearer than it used to be. God's word, which is true, or what man says, which is false. And now the things that were true and good, now they're actually calling them evil. And the things we know to be evil, they're actually calling good. And so there's never been a time, I believe, that has been so important to go from devastation to restoration. Now, this might not happen in our nation, but it can happen in your personal life. It can happen in your family life. What I love about God is He is not dictated by our politics or our economy or the world system. Thank God He doesn't sit underneath the World Economic Forum. He sits above all governing authorities. Actually, Jesus, they said the government will rest upon His shoulders. That means all authority, everything has been given to the Son. And it gets difficult because we want always the good guy to win. We want the, what's going on, Lord, and how is evil prevailing? But be encouraged, the prophets used to ask that as well. Habakkuk and Hezekiah, or not, he wasn't a prophet, but he's one of the kings, and Jeremiah, and they would ask, why are the wicked prospering? Lord, do something. And so that's why we have to trust in His sovereignty. And so I did want to encourage you this morning, a lot of new faces, that we are getting to a point where you've got to make a decision. That on the fence, or what Elijah would say, how long will you waver between two opinions, is kind of coming to an end pretty quickly. And so there comes a point where all of us have to make that decision. And I want to just pick up from where I left off Friday night. It's a good reminder that from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, when Jesus was on the cross, there was darkness over all of the land. Think about that. Jesus is dying on the cross. We talked about that on Friday. And about the ninth hour, He cried out with a loud voice, And he gave up, the Bible says he gave up his ghost, depending on the translation, or he gave up his spirit. Basically, he yielded. He said, it is finished. And a brief lesson in 1 minute is because all of us, all of humanity have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We do have the condemnation of God upon our lives as unbelievers. And so what Jesus did, he rectified that. He fixed that. He died on the cross, became that substitutionary atonement, bore our sin, bore our penalty on the cross. That's why he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that point in history, there many agree that there was a separation, and he absorbed that, and that's what the cross is all about. That's why it is so important, the power of the cross. And then once that happened, when Jesus died on the cross, everything in human history is looking to this point, because either he rose from the dead or he didn't. If he didn't, we probably shouldn't be here. It's a big waste of time. We've been following a lie. And if any of you have questions, we'd love to talk to you at some point, because there is so much historical proof. And I had to just get right to the point. There's so much I want to share with you. But if you are skeptical, think about that. This, even secular historians say that Jesus was an historical figure. He lived. He's not a fairy tale. He lived. So if he lived, why did so many people die for this belief system? If they hid the body, if he really didn't rise from the dead, these guys were tortured. Deny him. Okay, he's behind the shed. And how do you steal a body from a legion of Roman soldiers trained to kill, who are probably right around the tomb? You can't roll a tomb away or a stone while they're sleeping. And you just look at this accuracy of the text, and you realize, yeah, like C.S. Lewis said, he's either a liar, he's a lunatic, or he's the Lord Jesus Christ. I kind of cringe when people say, well, he was a good teacher. He was a good teacher. You know, we should do what he says. Well, actually, if he didn't rise from the dead, don't do what he says. Because he said a lot of things that were way out there if he is not the Son of God. He would not be just a good teacher. He said, I will rise again. I am the Father, are one. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures say, out of his belly is going to flow rivers of living water. And he had the audacity to say this, if he's only a good teacher. I'm going to put the word only in there for you. I am the only way. I am the only truth. That's pretty arrogant for a teacher. I am the only way, the only truth, the only life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. How is that a good teacher? You have to remove that option. A complete lunatic, which was absolutely false because his words were so full of wisdom that have you ever seen anybody really good with their words? Well, you haven't seen them this good. Jesus, they would say, nobody ever spoke like this man. So much boldness, so much truth. And so lunatic is out the door. Liar, not even a hint of a lie, because everything came to pass. So you have to deal with that when you hear messages like this. Is he truly the Lord Jesus Christ? Do some investigation. Look into it. And that's a big misconception with Christianity. Is why I'm so glad there's a lot of theologians out there, but we don't just check our brains at the door. Golly gee whiz, let me just believe whatever. Pixie dust and unicorns fly. Let's throw Jesus in there as well. No. There's a faith has a concrete foundation. But when he died, this is so incredible. When he died on the cross, it says the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to the bottom. Now, most people I've talked to, you know, that really don't know the Bible, don't understand a lot of Christianity, don't realize the relevance. But it's in the Bible for a reason. It's so important. And just picture 4-inch thick curtain. And it's about the height of this our ceiling. And what it did, it actually, that you have the inner court, the outer court, out there where people were at, the sacrifice, the sacrificial system, they would bring the blood in. But here's the veil that was always up from Moses back in the desert. You could not go into that area because that was the Holy of Holies, reserved just for the priest who would intercede once a year, and he better do it right or he wasn't coming out. And so he would bring that blood. I think he would shake a little bit. He would go in that veil, and he would sacrifice for the sins of the people and then come out. Basically, what God is saying is crystal clear. That veil is now ripped from the top to the bottom, 4-inch thick, and it's saying, now you have full access to the Father. Come boldly to the throne of grace. That price has been paid. You don't need intercession anymore. You don't need the blood of the bulls and the goats that were temporary. You go directly to God. And I don't want to bash religions this morning, but you just have to talk about things when they come up in the text. This is why we do not go to a man to go to God. You don't have to go sit in a booth and confess. That's unbiblical. It's borderline heretical. Because he is our intercession. He is our interceder. He intercedes for us. We have a high priest who has went before us, who has been tempted in all points, yet was without sin. He intercedes on behalf of, he is the only one we look to. We don't look to man. We don't look to a religious system. We don't look to rules, but we look to that relationship and that alone. It is so important. And so this temple, the veil is ripped, the earth shook, there's darkness over the land. And later, after Jesus' resurrection, they record that even the dead got up out of the grave and walked into the holy city. Shane, do you believe that? Absolutely. Because he's the first fruit of the resurrection. God, who hung Saturn and Neptune, and he might be able to have the body resurrect. I don't know. I don't know. I know it's a hard thing to imagine, but that is what there is, a resurrection of life. Did you know you actually die twice? If you don't know God, the first is physical death. The next is spiritual death. It is appointed once to man to die, and then after that, the judgment. This scripture is crystal clear and is not written by man's perspective with flaws and errors. That's why we look to and call it the inerrancy of scripture. The inerrancy of scripture. And how many of you are confused about what's going on in the Church of America today? They call it woke. Have you heard that term? Politically correct. Do you ever see some churches and pastors, and they, like, why don't they speak the truth? Why don't they talk about these issues? Why don't they, I don't understand. Have you been there, or is it just me? I mean, it's like unbelievable. Well, here, if you get to if you get to the main core of what's going on, this is probably 99% of it. And I'm not going to get into details or different things. I think we're going to set up later. But I had a debate with a Christian, which we saw differently on some big things, from the UK. And we did a podcast. He didn't show up, so we did something else. We'll release it this month. But he's saying things like I totally disagree with. Like, how does he come up with that conclusion? Lord, what Bible are we reading? So my first question is going to be, do you believe in the inerrancy and absolute authority of God's word? I can guarantee the answer will be, well, it depends how you define that. There's good things. There's good truths. Paul was writing to his generation. And now, though, in our generation, we've learned a lot. We've grown. We've evolved. And so now we can better understand. Paul was writing to that culture, but now we have a better understanding. And see how they try to twist it? So everything hinges on the validity. Now, of course, there's going to be different views on the non-essentials that for some reason we love to argue about, right? Myself included. I don't know. It's called pride, by the way, in case you didn't know. But this is why there's so much division. If God's word is true, the inerrancy of Scripture, then certain behaviors and lifestyles are wrong. White House? We look to God's house, not the White House, for direction. And so that's why. How can they quote scripture? Did you know our governor put on a billboard supporting abortion, Jesus' words? What in God's name? I mean, I can get real fired up right now, but I'm not going to. I promise myself. But how is that even possible? Because it's not the inerrant, inspired, thus saith the Lord. It's conjecture, it's theory, it's good practices. Do unto others as you like to have them. And so they can take it and now twist it to what they want to believe. Judge not, all you judgers out there. It says judge not. No, actually, it does say to judge. Keep reading. It says judge with the right heart. So this is so important. I know many of you understand that, but many of you don't. You're seeing a big divide in the church and the nation. And who do I believe? What do I believe? Look to God's word, the final authority. Well, it's been the test of time for 2,000 years. Actually, it's been the test of time since humanity. When God first began the written word, and even in the Old Testament, the principles of morality have not changed. The principles of morality have not changed. When God said, this is wrong in regard to relationship, sexual relationship, all these other things, morality has not changed. Dietary laws, ceremonial laws, things like that have. But the morality of God's word has not changed. And so after all these things happened, the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus on the cross, when they saw all these things, they feared greatly and they said, truly, this was the Son of God. Truly, this was the Son of God. Now, it's interesting. They saw these things, right? The earth shook. It was dark. They could see. I'm sure they heard Pontius Pilate when he was talking to Jesus. Do you not answer them? What are they accusing you of? And Pontius Pilate even, it appears, defended Jesus. What evil has he done? This is a just man. I'm washing my hands of this man. He's guiltless. And so they heard all of these things, the Roman soldiers. But finally, they came to that point. Truly, this was the Son of God. They saw. But I want to show, I think we have it, John 20:29. I want you to look at this. Jesus said to him, and this is to Thomas, we're fast forwarding a little bit. I don't know if we have the next slide, Sarah, on John 20:29. If not, you can listen. Thomas is the doubter, right? We know Thomas is the doubter. So Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet they believe. I love that verse. Why? Because you think, oh, they saw Jesus. That would have been cool. It really would have. But blessed are those who actually do not see and they believe in this message of hope. Why are they more blessed? Because, folks, that is the definition of faith. If I could get to the root of faith, it is faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance of things hoped for. And so I hear the gospel call. I hear the conviction of the Spirit. I need a Savior. I believe in Christ and faith rises. And Jesus says, blessed are you because I did not have to come down and show you my hands and show you the side. I did not have to shake you and say, look, feel, taste and see that God is good. And it's exhibiting faith and faith alone. So yes, you have to step out in faith. Absolutely. Not blind faith. Why do I not say use the word blind faith? Because it's not blind. It's faith stepping out and believing God. I mean, let's be honest. Clearly, there's a God. And so now we get to why we're here, Matthew 28:14. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary of Magdalene and the other Mary came to see Jesus at the tomb. Now, this is important because questions you come in, I know that people are curious about this topic. After the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, so it appears, obviously, right? That's why we celebrate Sunday as Resurrection Day, Resurrection Sunday. And there's a big misconception out there. There's even a billboard on the 395 that tries to get you to download a book because the Mark of the Beast is worshiping God on Sunday. Oh, it started by the Roman Catholic Church in the 3rd century. No, it was started by the early church. Early church to recognize this is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Friends of Israel said this, the ancient Jewish leaders, okay, this is for all of you who like to keep the Sabbath. Okay, I'm going to get in that in a minute because I think we should keep, as far as a principle, a day off, a day of rest, unplug, seek God. But persecuted Christians in China do it Friday morning. Those in the Middle East might have to do it Monday early at 4 a.m. So see, we can't put a day on it. You can only worship God on a certain day. We should be worshiping God every single day of the week. So what they did in Jesus' time, they added 39 extra categories of work along with all of their additional Sabbath laws and traditions. They didn't get much rest. Instead, you'll be weighed down with a legalistic burden that exhausts people with minutiae and the fear of God's wrath. Jesus condemned laying such burdens on people's shoulders. So here's the thing with the Sabbath. Yes, we recognize it's a very important principle. We should rest. We should take that day off. But we also have to look at Scripture. Jesus is the very source of our rest now. Matthew 11, in Him I rest from my labors. He is my Sabbath rest. The Sabbath was made for man so that they would take that day off and they would rest. And it's a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ, Colossians 2. And I know we can get really dogmatic about this topic, but just think about it. If you're turning on your car, if you're doing a little yard work, that's work. You couldn't kindle a fire. That's what an engine does, unless you have a Tesla. But where do you draw that line? You can see how legalistic and rigid rules make you become? And so it does beg the question, are you resting in Him? Are you resting in Him? Because I do think we need a Sabbath. I think we need a day off to unwind. And to unplug into just a day. That's what it's for. It's actually a day of rest. Anybody need a rest from Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and texting and all these different things? It's very good, very important. I know it's very difficult though. But think about this question then. Are you resting in Him? Are you resting in Him? Many who have to follow rules or go through the motions and keep certain days don't have that genuine relationship with God. If a Christian has to kind of go through the motions, I have to obey these things, I have to do these things, I have to and follow these rules, you're not resting in Him. He's not your Sabbath rest in this deep relationship. Now, because I have that relationship, I'm going to live a little differently. Amen. I'm not going to look like the world, but it's not because I'm following rules. It's because of this, my relationship with Him. And you can tell a lot of the rules. I can tell a rule follower from a genuine spirit-filled believer who's resting in Jesus. Huge, huge mark, a huge characteristic that marks them. You guys ready for this? It's a good takeaway. You sure? Get your pen out, get your phone out. One has joy, the other is very critical. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground with Pastor Shane Eidelman. You can find more information at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org. And for all the latest on what God is doing with His ministry here, please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change, truth does not. I want you to follow any cause.